As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
All right, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. If you're like my friend John, who just texted me, he's still wondering what our last caller was talking about, Kim. He's like, what in the world was Jay trying to get at here? I don't know if it was a personal experience he felt that he was discriminated against because he didn't have enough kids or what.
So my understanding of his comment, when we were talking about this $5,000 baby bonus the Trump administration's floating to try to convince more women to have children, more families to have children. So he was saying he feels like if you have more children, you're more likely to be promoted or basically climb the ranks at work. Is that what he was saying?
I guess so. I know I walked into a job meeting one time at a job where I was trying to negotiate my salary, and I said, listen, I need this because I've just had an extra kid and I could use the extra money. He said, well, unfortunately for you, I don't employ your family. I employ you. Mm-hmm. So that's not really my concern. What your expenses are was the answer I got famously from my boss at the time. So I don't know. I'm not convinced that the $5,000 is what motivates people to have another baby. We did have my friend Debbie calling in here on line one who wanted to comment on that this morning. Debbie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great to hear from you.
Yes, yes. You know, this is something that I've thought about for a number of years now. And I think, first of all, tax credit, I like that idea. But if we could just get the cost of living down to a point, and my original thought has always been, in other words, get taxes down to the point that people are keeping more of their paycheck, one parent could stay home with families.
Yes.
You eliminate that cost of childcare, which is costly. I mean, I went through all of that myself, and I went down that path. But I've always felt like, even in the late 90s, I was looking at it, and it's like, how can we get one parent to be able to stay home and take care of the family? Mm-hmm. It makes life so much easier for parents to do that. And, of course, taxes were always the first thing that hit my mind.
Yeah, and you could argue that your kids are always better off if their parents are the one raising them all day long. But, yeah, it's a struggle these days. It really is, with housing prices and the cost of living in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yes. So, Mark, that's all I had to say. Thanks for everything you do.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for listening. I appreciate that. Good to hear from my friend Debbie Shaw this morning.
And she's right, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you keep more of your paycheck, you have more of that money then to be able to help if you are just on a one-income, you know, household.
Here it is, the government once again offering to give you back some of your money as an incentive. How about letting us keep it to begin with?
What a wild thought you have right there, Mark.
It's groundbreaking, but I'm here for you. I just want you to know that. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Shannon Bream from Fox News Sunday. I'm sure she's got some thoughts on some of the Supreme Court rulings and you know, the due process and all of that, because she's also the chief legal correspondent for Fox. So we'll get to Shannon. And Griff Jenkins, speaking of which, is covering this story this morning of this extra murder, this additional murder in Maryland by an illegal alien, even while Chris Van Hollen, the senator, is in El Salvador. Well, he's back now, but he's been down there fighting for the return of another illegal alien gang member to the United States. It's kind of makes your brain hurt when you think about it, doesn't it? We'll get to Griff at about 8:35. Right now, though, Ethan, help me out with our top stories here.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The decision of whether to run for re-election has not been easy. I truly love the job of being United States Senator, but in my heart, I know it's time to pass the torch. So I'm announcing today that I will not be seeking re-election at the end of my term.
Nope, he's not. That's Dick Durbin. He has announced he is stepping down as longtime senator. He's been senator since 1996 in the state of Illinois. The lieutenant governor, Stratton, has already thrown her hat in the ring as a Democrat for that seat.
This executive order takes existing law on HBCUs and brings it into effect. We're going to be setting up a White House initiative on HBCUs. The basic idea here is making sure that every aspect of your administration is working to ensure that HBCUs are able to do their job as effectively and as efficiently as possible.
Yeah, wow. How about the White House there? The racists that they are, helping out historically black colleges and universities again.
The one big beautiful bill, as the president calls it, a reconciliation bill, I think it can be and probably will be one of the most consequential pieces of legislation ever passed by the United States Congress.
Mike Johnson there talking about this bill that they're crafting, and I did hear the White House the other day back away from the thought of increasing taxes on millionaires.
And I guess I'm struggling to see how it burdens a parent's religious exercise.
That is Ketanji Brown Jackson. I don't know how I overlooked this bite the other day when they held this debate, this hearing in the Supreme Court over this. The parent sued a school district because they claimed that three-year-olds were being taught lessons about how to identify somebody who was a prostitute, or what bondage was, and watching out for people that wear leather and what that might represent. So parents sued the district and said, what are you doing here? These are 3 and 4 year olds. Like, that was the most extreme example of it. But there were other books being available to children in the middle school, and they basically lifted their parental notice rules. Like, parents no longer had to be notified before these things were being done.
They should at least be 5 before you start teaching about bondage.
Don't you think?
Well, at least 5.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's probably
maybe four and a half.
Yeah, yeah, there are some very mature 4.5-year-olds.
Let's be reasonable, Kim. Come on. Once again, a glimpse into the mind of the left here. I just have to say that. I want you to listen to this entire bite from someone who is a progressive leftist and also a member of the United States Supreme Court. Her name is Ketanji Brown Jackson. Listen to her logic. And as you're listening to it, just to seed your mind as you're listening to it, think about how often in this country we push for school choice, only to be told you can't strip money away from the public schools. If you go to school choice, where I have a voucher and I can port my money around, it benefits me and it benefits the poorest of Americans because they're no longer trapped in whatever school district they're in because they can't afford to move, right? This is why we want school choice in this country. And apparently Ketanji Brown Jackson agrees with us. Listen.
I guess I'm struggling to see how it burdens a parent's religious exercise if the school teaches something that the parent disagrees with. You have a choice. You don't have to send your kid to that school. You can put them in another situation. And I guess
Did you hear it?
Can you actually put them in a different school? Because a lot of people don't think that that should be allowed.
Well, but a lot of people can't afford it.
Well,
that's the point. If you're in the failing St. Louis school district, I mean, how many people do you know that live in the city that can afford it who send their kids to city schools? They don't. They send them to parochial schools or they send them to private schools. Mm-hmm. If they don't have to send them to the city. And the others, people who can't afford to do that, are stuck.
Right, and the issue is that they don't have the choice to take their tax dollars that are going to that particular district and move them to another public school district.
Right.
Their options, like you said, are to do, for example, a private school, which is very expensive, or homeschooling or something like that, which maybe they feel like they're not ready for.
Let them eat cake. You don't have to send your kid there. Send them somewhere else. I guess she makes enough money that she has that option. All we want are school vouchers. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And the poorest person can afford to send their kid maybe to the Parkway School District or the Rockwood School District if they want to port their money out there, and they don't have to send them to a district that's failing their students. But the public, the NEA, does not want that. They're dead set against things like that. So Ketanji, you're stabbing your fellow your union member supporters in the back there over at the NEA with that kind of attitude. I just have to say, Shanna Bream is going to be calling us here in just a few minutes. We'll talk to her about this story on due process and the 9 members of the Supreme Court that said to President Trump, "You've got to facilitate the return of this Maryland man," as they love to call him. I always think of the term Florida man when I hear that. This Maryland man who's got to be brought back, who was never a Maryland man. He's an El Salvador man. And he happens to be in El Salvador, but they want us to bring him back for some strange reason. We'll talk to Shanna Bream about that in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
On 97.1 FM Talk. The Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Morning Show, on the air and streaming at 971talk.com.
I might call. I haven't called him, but I believe he's making a mistake by not lowering interest rates. And I think as well as we're doing, we'd do much better. He's keeping rates too high.
Shannon is gonna hurt.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday. Shannon, great to have you back on the show. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And the president there talking about Jerome Powell. You know, I fuss with the folks over at Fox Business all the time about how emotional the stock market is. Like, the president never said he was going to fire Powell, but because they were afraid he might try, the market tanked. And then when he said he wouldn't, the market goes back up. And it's just maddening to me.
Well, it is very emotional. And what markets hate is instability, as you know. And so they felt a lot of that lately with tariffs, with the back and forth with the president and Powell. And, you know, everything that Secretary Bessin says is parsed by the syllable to figure things out, too. And so the market just, you know, it's going to fluctuate. It is emotional. And it's why I've been trying not to take a look at it. You know, my husband got the mail a few days ago, and it had, you know, our monthly statement on some of our retirement accounts and things. And he was like, "Look how good this looks." And I'm like, "That was before Liberation Day. Don't show me any paperwork pre-Liberation Day, because I think things have changed since then."
Just don't look. Yeah, you got a long-term horizon here. The only people that have lost any money are the ones that have sold. And I listened to another report this morning that the smart people, the hedge fund managers out on Wall Street, they're making money on all this.
Okay, yes, because the more that people are, you know, turning over and looking around and getting in and out of things, I mean, that makes people money who are not just the ones who are investing. So all of those attendant businesses connected to this and people that can short things and can think long term and have been through a few of these cycles, they know how to make money in these kinds of markets. Yes. And, you know, President Trump is now being investigated for saying, "Hey, it's a great time to buy," which a lot of people think when the market's down, if you've got cash, that is a good time to buy. But we'll see how those investigations turn out.
Shannon, I saw you interviewed, and in fact, I remember you telling us you were going to be interviewing Butch Wilmore, the astronaut who was stuck for, what was it, like 9 months or something like that?
Right.
What was your big takeaway from that interview?
This guy is incredibly humble. I mean, you would not know anything about him unless you go and research it yourself. I mean, he's been in space multiple times for these extended periods. He was one of the top Navy test pilots ever. But if you meet him, he's like, hey, I'm just Butch. I'm an elder here at this church. I sweep up, I set up, I tear down. Like, I'm here to go to the hospital and visit people. I mean, he did all of these things he could do from space, calling people, checking on his parishioners, leading devotions from space. I mean, he's just a truly humble guy that makes you feel like, this is a real American hero. I'm just glad I got to hang out with him.
Yeah, he seemed to, I mean, some people wanted to get him involved in the politics of all this, but he did admit that he was thankful for Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
He did, because that's how they got home.
Yeah.
So he
yeah.
definitely is happy about that. But yeah, I got the sense from both he and, you know, the interviews you see with Sonny Williams as well, they don't want it to be about politics. They love the space program. They love the support for it. And they love that even if, you know, their circumstances were unexpected, it drew a ton of attention to the space program and to the privates, you know, entrepreneurs and investors who are making things happen in space, too. So they're happy for the attention, but I think they're also very happy to be home with their families.
Yeah, very true. Hey, let's talk due process for a minute and put your lawyer hat on for me for a minute, your legal hat, and tell me, Chris Van Hollen is insistent, and so are all these other Democrats that have flown to El Salvador, that this Garcia guy did not have due process. But it's just not the due process the Democrats wanted. If you go through to a deportation judge and you get deported, you've had due process. Am I right?
Yes. And what they're saying is, you know, back in 2019, there was this protective order. He didn't have any legal status as a citizen or temporary citizen, none of that. But what he had was this order that he couldn't be deported back to El Salvador because of a specific gang there that had harassed his family that he was worried about. He could have been deported anywhere else, though. So the question I had for Senator Van Hollen was like, okay, so if they bring him back here, have this hearing and deport him again, are you fine with that? And he said, yes. So you got to wonder how far they're willing to push this. You've got Republicans here in town saying we love it. The more of them who go down there and want to defend potential gang members, they are running ads and think it's going to be a very good conversation piece for them going into the midterms.
Yeah, very true. What do you have any guests lined up for this weekend?
We do have one locked in. His name is Senator John Kennedy, the soundbite machine.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of opinions on things going on in the world. So we will try to get to him with, you know, this whole tax situation they're trying to get passed on the Hill. But a lot of foreign policy with Russia and Ukraine. Can they get to a deal? And I also have a special sit down with my friend Dana Perino. She's got a new book out, and you'll learn some things about her in our interview that you may have been very surprised to find out.
Yeah, I think I might have heard her on with Brian the other day. It sounds like a fascinating book. We'll look forward to that, Shannon. Thank you.
See you Sunday.
Yep. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. She probably didn't like me promoting the Brian Kilmeade interview there instead of Fox News Sunday. I'll let them work that out. We'll be back in a minute.
A morning cup of adrenaline. The Mark Cox Morning Show. Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
Learning tonight more about Maryland man Kilmar Albrego Garcia. You remember him. He's in the news more than Trump these days. A new report suggests something strange was going on when he was pulled over on a Tennessee highway in 2022. The officer at the time suspected it was a human trafficking incident. And it looks like that, doesn't it? Now we're told through a DHS source that the car Albrego Garcia was driving belonged to a convicted human smuggler.
Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
How about
good
that, Griff?
Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
Good, good. Listen, I'm on TV. Seconds later, I am on the greatest radio show in the country, the Mark Cox Morning Show. How are you guys doing? Listen, I'm literally can hardly keep up with the MS-13 gang members, the TDA gang members, particularly the one living on the property of a New Mexico judge. But it is, you know, you played in that intro when I was on with Brian and Fox Friends earlier today. We're just learning more and more about this alleged MS-13 gang member, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, and this tie to a confessed human smuggler. So as we reported, Abrego Garcia was pulled over in 2022 in Tennessee, driving from basically Tennessee, from Texas to Maryland. And he was stopped for speeding, but according to the trooper, allegedly, Abrego Garcia pretended to speak less English, playing kind of dumb, and attempted to throw the trooper off track by responding to questions with questions. The guy that was riding with him had confessed just 2 years prior to human smuggling. And the vehicle they were in, according to the Tennessee Highway Patrol, was on a suspected human smuggling list. You know, when I'm down there and when you've seen me do those raids where we've literally apprehended in real time a lot of the smugglers, dramatic stuff, but the way they do it is they just keep a list, a database of various vehicles they've known or suspected of being, you know, human smuggling operations. And it turned out this vehicle he was driving was one of them.
I have questions. So, first of all, I'm sure that they'll say he was just being profiled for driving while illegal. And number two, did he have a driver's license, Griff? Because if not, why would that trooper not have arrested him on the spot?
So there lies maybe some fair criticism of the Tennessee troopers, because we know that Alberto Garcia was released with simply a warning for driving with an expired license.
But so at some point, the state of Maryland gave an illegal alien a driver's license. That's crazy to me.
That would certainly be the logical conclusion. I hadn't seen the license, but yeah. And look, this is all, you know, going on as this battle wages over his deportation to El Salvador with this due process questions. And, you know, a judge yesterday gave a 6 p.m. deadline for the government to prove what they are or aren't doing to facilitate his return. The judge yesterday gave him a 1 week delay. The government asked for a delay, said, you know, we can't get that to you, so we'll find out where that is. But this is really an interesting case because it's diving into the due process. In a nutshell, for all of our listeners that have been watching this going, what the heck is like the deal?
Yeah.
Just remember this. Griff Jenkins, Mark Cox, U.S. citizens have a 10 out of 10 level of due process because we're American citizens. When any illegal crosses the border illegally, you start at zero due process. Whatever happens to you later in the court system through complicated immigration law that has long been in need of a revamping, you gain certain levels. Okay? So ultimately, we now know in 2019, Abrego Garcia was arrested, picked up for being illegal, went before a judge in 2019 who determined that he was a threat to the community because of his association and alleged involvement with MS-13, and gave him a final order of removal, at which time the Abrego Garcia's attorney petitioned that judge, said, hang on, you can't send him back to El Salvador because of threat from Barrio 18, which is the sworn enemy gang of MS-13. He got that. The error was sending him to El Salvador as opposed to anywhere else. But as he comes back, it's important that our viewers and listeners know he's not coming back with this due process right of a U.S. citizen, as Democrats would have you believe, that the Constitution is being set on fire. It simply would be bringing him back to then ultimately figure out what exactly is his due process at this moment. And that's complicated, nuanced, but it's an important point to make, because this isn't like the Constitution's been set on fire at the behest of a U.S. citizen.
We were just talking to your coworker, Shannon Bream, and she said she asked Van Hollen, you know, hey, let's just say they bring this Garcia guy back and he ends up getting deported again. That's exactly what would happen. Would you be happy with that? Would that satisfy what you're asking for? And he said yes. Anyone buy that?
I don't believe that.
Well, he said yes because he knows exactly that's going to happen. As I just laid out, the moment you bring him back, he goes right back in front of not this judge that's demanding it's facilitate his return, not to the Supreme Court. It goes before the immigration judge, at which point the government, the Trump administration, will now say the original identification as an MS-13 gang member stands. He's going to continue his process of this final removal, so he's getting deported again, and we're removing the withholding of removal, the protection from being sent back to El Salvador, because MS-13 has now been designated a foreign terrorist organization. Mm-hmm.
But Griff,
it's actually going to be we're going to send him right back to El Salvador. It appears
I'm too much of a cynic to buy that. Here's what I think the Democrats are hoping for: if they can just get him back on U.S. soil, they will judge shop till they find a liberal federal judge who will demand that he be detained in the United States until they get to decide his fate. They'll take it out of the hands of the deportation court, which is why I think the Trump administration needs to avoid bringing him back to U.S. soil at all costs.
But aren't all these hearings going through Texas, or is that just the people who have recently come over the border? I thought that was part of this, is that they all have to go through Texas.
Well, I mean, look, I think Mark is right what the Democrats will attempt. And Kayleigh McEnany had a great line last night on TV saying the DNC should just change their acronym to Defending Non-Citizens. That's exactly what they're doing.
Oh, I love that.
But to your point, Kim, so what happened was the Supreme Court ruling took from the district judge's case about facilitating his return and said from henceforward, you cannot claim habeas, which is, arguing against your removal, unless it's in the district where you're being removed. Mm-hmm. So everything going forward has to be, in this case, with those new TDA gang members you're talking about, it's in Texas.
Oh, so this
TDA,
wouldn't be
by
him.
The way, we haven't even talked about this judge in New Mexico.
Oh my gosh.
Resigns without explanation. So we don't know exactly why he did, but it happened just days after HSI, Homeland Security Investigation agents, raided his property, arrested an alleged TDA gang member who we now know had been given lodging by the wife after doing odd jobs for him in the couple's casita at the back of the property. And in the court document I read on the air, defendant, that is this guy, Christian Ortega Lopez, defendant was introduced to Nancy Cano's daughter, April, who possessed a large number of firearms, and defendant advised that April allowed him to hold and sometimes shoot firearms. It's crazy. It also says in the documents that Ortega Lopez worried about telling the judge's wife about his AK-47 tattoo, which is a train coming out of Aragua, which is a known TDA identifier.
No, I have the same tattoo, Griff.
Yeah, I know. Yours is much better, but
right,
here's the thing,
you.
Kim. And no one's talking about this. You know, they keep saying alleged, suspected TDA gang member. So let's just step back for a second. If you are not in TDA or you are not an MS-13 and you tattoo MS-13 across your neck or have an AK-47 tattoo with a train coming out of Aragua and the gang learns you have their tattoo, you know what happens to you? You're dead.
I'll bet.
Like, there's no way this guy's going to have TDA tats and he's not a member.
Or if you're not an MS-13 gang member, you would have nothing to fear from the other gang in El Salvador. So you're admitting that you're a gang member, and that's why you don't want to go back and be killed by the other
gang.
But
wouldn't you
right?
say I'm reformed? Yeah. That was my old life, which people can change. But the guy clearly, in 2022, he was driving just like you said, Griff, driving that guy's car and was trying to, you know,
but it's
mislead
like,
police.
It's like being in the mob. You can't just leave.
No, they pull you back in. Look, right. I mean, look, this judge and TDA gang Cato Kalin arrangement is just made for Netflix. But I will say this, Ortega Lopez, I looked at the documents, illegally entered the country in Eagle Pass, Texas on December 15th, 2023. And I am scrolling through all of my pictures on the phone because December 15th is my birthday. And I remember spending it in Eagle Pass. We were all joking because it was the height of the crisis. And I was in Eagle Pass on that day. I'm just looking back to see if I actually met the guy.
Kim, I just have to give you a little explainer there. Cato Kalin, lived in O.J. Simpson's guest house. That's why he was making that. That was an O.J. Simpson reference, just so you know.
Yeah, that's before,
I have to school before her sometimes
my time.
There,
well, when was that? What year was that? I was very young. I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, like 94 or so. But I mean, listen, Kato Kaelin is side Kim. Just, this is like a pool. It's like the pool boy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they just decided to give the pool boy lodging and didn't happen to notice that he's covered in gang tattoos, was illegally in the country, and loved to shoot their daughter's guns.
Isn't that nice?
Very true. All right. Griff, always great having you on, my friend. Great reporting here. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. I'll see you later. We appreciate that. All right. Ran over there a little bit. When we come back, we're going to tell you about a great charity event this weekend that you can help out with. We'll be back right after this. We've got a great fundraiser coming up this weekend, and you can help out Childhood Cancer Research. It is the 5th annual Rock for Brett Concert for a Cause. It's going to be at Helen Fitzgerald's, and I got Conrad Hulbrick on the phone right now, and he's helping sponsor this whole event this weekend. And Conrad, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about this. I know it's the 5th annual, and I know we've talked to you folks about it before, but give us an idea of who Brett was. I understand that he passed away back in 2018, and this is just a great effort to raise money to fight childhood cancer.
Well, that's right. Brett was my son. He was diagnosed at the age of 11 with an aggressive form of brain cancer. Called anaplastic astrocytoma. Very aggressive, very devastating disease. And he endured incredible suffering during his 3.5-year fight against this disease, including 7 weeks of proton radiation, wow, 5 different forms of chemotherapy and immunotherapy, 6 brain surgeries, which left him with severe deficits, several blood transfusions, and as you can imagine, countless hospital visits, scans, tests, and needle sticks. We even traveled for treatment toward the end in the hopes of finding a cure for him, but that wasn't meant to be. So we've turned this tragedy into a mission to help other kids with cancer by raising money for childhood cancer research.
Yeah, how can people help out for this weekend? They can show up at Helen Fitzgerald's, Saturday?
Well, actually, our event, our concert event, is going to be at the Arnold Eagles Hall.
Oh, okay.
1725 Jeffco Boulevard. No, that's okay. You're probably thinking about the annual head shaving event that takes place at Helen Fitzgerald's. Yeah, we do that too, but we turned our efforts to a concert fundraiser, which have been really successful. So that's Saturday, August 26th at the Arnold Eagles Hall.
April 26th, right?
April 26th. Yeah, I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Saturday, April 26th at the Arnold Eagles Hall, 1725 Jeffco Boulevard. The first act comes on at 6 o'clock. Doors open at 5:30. And we've got an incredible group of musicians performing that night. 4 different acts, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
The first act is going to be JoJo Mattia. She's flying in from Arizona to perform for us again this year. We have the teen talent finalists, Aragon, The Nightmare, an Alice Cooper Experience, and 3-time St. Louis Post-Dispatch headliner winner, Torchlight Parade. They're the ones that are organizing the event.
Conrad, I'm going to run out of time here. Tell people how they can find out more.
Go to stbaldricks.org. In the search tab, search for Rock for Brett, Concert for a Cause. You can make a donation there. Make a donation there and come out Saturday night at the Arnold Eagles Hall, April 26th.
Sir, sorry for your loss. Thanks for all you're doing for childhood cancer research.
Thanks so much, Mark. Thanks for having us on.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.